Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome to the Balk Talk Podcast on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your host, NBC Sports Bay Area's Jessica Kleinschmidt.
Welcome back to another episode of Balk Talk presented by Wendy's. Get the breakfast you deserve with Wendy's 2 for $4. 2 fresh-made sandwiches for just $4. Price and participation may vary. I'm excited to be joined by the Athletics' Britt Giroli. Britt, thanks for joining me today.
Yes, thanks for having me. I'm wondering, after this, do you just like cut some hair and send it to me in the mail so that I can glue it on? Somewhere?
That is actually what we agreed on before we pressed record. You can borrow it whenever you want. I do have like a 7 to 10 month business month, and you have to send it back. But yeah, whatever you need. It's my pairing gift, if you will. Actually, one of the last Balk Talk episodes I had Kurt Bevacqua, and he sent me a bottle of wine. So I'm going to make sure I put that on the record so you feel like you have to do that too.
I thought that you were sending me hair, and now it's turned into me sending you wine. So
you see how I did that?
Really feel cheated and feel like we discussed off air just mattered none, you guys.
I know the moment I press record, I'm using you. It's how it works.
I've always heard about people who are different when the lights go on, but I've never actually witnessed it until this very moment.
I'm a monster. You heard it here, folks. Well, the first thing I wanted to talk to you about, you had this amazing article, and you wrote that it took you a while to write it, and it was about marijuana in the bigs and just how it's kind of transitioned over time. I just remember talking about John Singleton and how he got in trouble for weed, and he was kind of this really messed up poster child for it, and now they're embracing it. So tell me a little bit about this article that you wrote, and tell me about the feedback that you got from it as well.
Yeah. So what's crazy is, if you remember 10, 15, you know, maybe even less than that years ago, weed was treated like cocaine,
right?
And like a hard drug. Like
it might as well have been. Yeah,
exactly. And so I wrote a story with Javi Guerra, Nationals reliever, in like July. And he mentioned he got suspended from marijuana when he was a 40 man guy because he got DFA'd off the roster. And I was like, wow, that's a crazy loophole. He's like, it's happened to other guys. I'm like, so you were smoking when it was legal, got DFA'd, got tested, it was in your system. And he's like, yeah. And they, you know, he got punished for it. And he got treated like he took PEDs.
Right.
And so what's crazy, Jess, is I started making this list during the season. I'm like, how many other guys have been suspended for weed? Turns out the list is long. All of those drug of abuse releases you see, they are all pretty much exclusively marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
So that old joke you hear in Clubhouse is like, oh, wait till you get on the 40 man, like smoke your way onto the 40 man, was true.
That.
And so I kind of started digging around and wondering like, no, they changed the rule now, MLB, after Tyler Skaggs died. I think they realized, hey, let's let them use weed. Let's test for opioids. Let's really address this in a better way.
Mm-hmm.
But when guys were getting suspended for weed, I was kind of like, man, that would have sucked if, you say you were suspended 100 games for weed, out of the game, and now this rule has changed and everyone's like, oh, smoke all the weed you want.
Yeah.
So I found all these guys that, you know, it's crazy, Jess. There's a guy working at Verizon. There's a guy, you know, working in the banking industry, and who was the Dodgers' number one prospect. And it's funny. Andrew Lambeau. It's funny because we always talk about like, you get that one chance. Well, what if you didn't get that one chance?
Yeah.
What if you smoked weed and like Andrew Lambeau said, you're in this group, they send you to like a narcotics group and everyone's like, dude, you're in here for weed, like, get out of here.
Yeah, they'd make fun of you, I feel like, oh, okay. Like,
yeah. Basically, I think like kind of being in an Alcoholics Anonymous group and being like, I'm addicted to O'Doul's. It's like the same kind of thing. Like, we have real problems here. Please leave us alone. Why are you even in here with your marijuana habit? So what's craziest to me, Jess, before they change this rule, is that clubs could test you. Jess, you're their number one prospect. They test you for weed. It's a team test. They're like, no, no, no. We need Jess. She's going to be good. She's going to really help us.
Yeah.
So they could cover it up because it wasn't a league test.
Got it.
But if you weren't good and they're like, oh, Jess, God, we're paying her still. They could have been like, oh, Jess, you need to seek help. You are suspended. You violated our policy. So there was like no like clear consensus across the board. It was just like hypocrisy. And then once you got the 40 man.
Oh my gosh.
Once you got the 40 man, it was like, hey, Jess, do whatever you want. Right. Like nobody cared. Like Tim Lincecum, Let Tammy Smoke was like a movement.
That's true. That's really true. But the people around him, it wasn't a movement. They were like these bad people.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Yes.
Yeah. So it was a crazy story to do. Jeremy Jeffress is a good example, a guy who his next weed suspension, he would have been out of baseball, but the Brewers put him, he got like kind of fast tracked to the big leagues because they were worried about it. So it's definitely changed. Obviously society has changed too, but I think Tyler Skaggs and everything, unfortunately, that happened there kind of made the league reexamine their policy and say, hey, we've got bigger problems here. If guys want to smoke weed and play video games at night, like, just let them, like, fine. You know, those are not the guys driving drunk, getting into fights.
Yeah.
You know, those are the guys that are getting stoned and passing out. And that's, you know, if you're in charge of watching these guys or you're paying these guys, those are the guys you want. Like, I talked to Asians, they're like, the weed guys are the best. They don't cause trouble.
That's true. Well, I had Trevor Plouffe on here because he's the one that, like, he quote tweeted your article. And obviously the guy had been around on teams and stuff. And he said the same thing. It's like, when you think about the stereotypical partier, you're going to do worse things when you're drunk than when you're high. And plus coming out of the game, Britt, think about it this way. You're done at like maybe 1 o'clock in the morning. How are you going to come down and still be ready to go if there's a game day the next day? And then like, you can't just down a bottle of vodka. You need something quick and everything like that. So I'm glad they embraced it. I guess I'm curious though, because when I first heard the term drug of abuse and I spoke to somebody who had been suspended for drug of abuse, why don't we ask them, well, what drug was it? And like, I don't understand why we didn't do that. Cause when he told me, he's like, oh, it was weed. It's like, okay. Cause when I think of drug of abuse and you look it up on the actual, in the rules, that could be cocaine. It could be anything, but it's like, how that he was even brought in there. What, like, when did we start asking what drug were you on? When did we start asking that? Or did we ever?
We didn't. And that was the crazy thing too, is that guys would see their names on the SportsCenter ticker as like drug of abuse.
Yeah.
And everyone like you and I and everyone pretty much reasonable reads it and thinks this guy's juicing or this guy's on LSD or something super serious. And I think that was unfortunate too. Like, oh, drug of abuse. Because again, it was an antiquated rule that nobody ever stopped and thought like, you know what, this is making guys look awful.
Yeah.
On top of the suspension. Like people, I think if you're a steroid guy, you actually have a redemption arc, right? Yeah. Like if you're an established guy, Robinson Cano, you can test positive for suspension, you know, serve your suspension, come back. You're a weed guy and you're in the minor leagues, you're serving 100 games for a drug of abuse.
Yeah.
You don't get a second chance a lot of the time. And I think that's unfortunate. But yeah, the way it was like worded, there were so many shady things about this rule. It was almost hard to believe it took until 2020 for it to get changed.
And do you think society is going to like shut up now? Or do you still think we have I think we have a few years to go. I just feel like it's always going to be kind of interesting, but I think we're on the right path toward being like, it's just weed, calm down.
I hope so. So when I was doing this story, I looked up, according to the Marijuana Policy Project, 47 of 50 states have over the last 10 years done something with their marijuana laws, whether it's like totally allow it for medicinal, decriminalize it, whatever. So that's helped too. I think people like the fact that you're in California, I feel like it's been legal forever. Everyone's like, yeah, whatever. But there are certain states that are still behind. But now that you're starting to see almost every state come around to some level of it, I think you're going to start to see people kind of be like, oh, it's fine. Like it's generational, right? Like I told my in-laws, I was working on this story and they got very like, oh, weed, gateway drug. Whereas everyone our age is like, oh, cool, weed or cannabis or CBD. Yeah. Like I give it to my dog. Like that's how crazy it is that, you know, in certain areas. So I hope so. As society changes, I think the bigger issue is avoiding the next Tyler Skaggs situation. Right. And that's something MLB needs to really pay attention to.
Yeah. And I think that's a beautiful way of kind of bringing awareness and reminding there's like, these are two separate things. And I feel like, yeah, I think we're on the right path toward it. And even pop culture, like we're embracing weed with these players too. And I think that's important because, I mean, these guys work their asses off. And like I said, after a game, it's the easiest way to come down. Way better than, like I said, downing a bottle of tequila. So we have that. But it was a great story and super interesting and very, like I said, pop culture-y and also like, pardon me, but f***ed up to the people that had to go through it. Because how many times did, you know, John Singleton, love him. And when people reported on it, I just reported that John Singleton got popped for weed. That was fine. But other people were just coming at him and I never really understood it. And now as time goes on, like I just feel bad for those because they're watching it and like, all these laws are changing. And that like ruined their reputation and that sucks. And it's just weed, you know?
Yeah. And like so many guys I talked to were like, it's great that it's changed now, but forever it was ruined for me.
Yeah.
Right. Like I'm in my mid 30s now, like my time has passed. So it's cool that it changed now, but also like there's nothing you can do to help all those other guys who it ruined. Mm-hmm. And it sucks because like you said, people for so long thought that that made you a bad guy.
Yeah.
Or, you know, what I really wanted to do, Jess, because multiple people suggested this and it was impossible to figure out, were how many guys were punished that were people of color, that were, you know, Black players, that were Latin players versus white players. How many players were punished that were top prospects versus guys who, you know, they didn't really care about. LJ Hose, who was with the Orioles, told me that when he was a prospect, he failed tests and they swept it under the rug. As soon as he wasn't a top prospect anymore, oh, all of a sudden one of his tests comes back and now he has to serve a suspension, right?
Dang, dude.
So it's crazy to me. And these guys would get popped in the off season too. And it's like, okay, he's sitting home. His best friend was murdered a week beforehand. Yeah. He's smoking weed to try to cope. And now you're going to layer a suspension on top of that.
Right.
It just never seemed like the real issue was rehabilitation, right? Because yeah. Once you got to the big leagues, you could smoke. So what was the point of making these guys suffer, suspend them, put them through drug classes, when as soon as they got high enough, it was do whatever you want?
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, if anybody listening smokes weed and they need me to like retweet them or whatever y'all need, I got you, boo. Don't trip, chocolate chip. But I'm really glad that you wrote that because of I don't want to say we can sweep it underneath the rug, but I think it's a start to moving on for something that shouldn't even be a big deal. I get it why it was at the beginning, but the reputation thing really pissed me off. And if it's against the rules, I get that too, but now that it's not, let's move on. Another thing that's been causing a lot of controversy just this week is Hall of Fame voting, which is something growing up I never thought I'd say. I'm going to talk about Alex Pavlovich. He's, of course, my colleague. He tweeted out that Hall of Fame voting should be a great day for baseball fans. And it used to be, right? I just remember like when I was young and watching the Hall of Fame stuff happen, these guys that I looked up to, boom, they're in the Hall of Fame. Now, I don't want to say it's political, but I just feel like we're nitpicking things. And the one thing that you and I agree on is we're kind of glad we don't have a Hall of Fame vote. And the reason why is, and we're at the beginning of my career, I'm like, oh yeah, I can't wait to get there. But now there's so much BS. The thing that I wanted to ask you about is this character term. And I'm quoting that because I don't know what the hell that means. What does it mean to have good character or not have good character and have it translate into if you should be in the Hall of Fame or not? I don't get it.
Right. It just seems to me like a easy way to say like whether the writers like you or not, right?
Okay.
Because let's call a spade. If Barry Bonds was more media friendly, if he had given more hugs or more interviews or smiled more, yeah, he'd be in the Hall of Fame. And I don't think that that's really up for debate. The issue has become, and I agree with you, I have 12 years of covering Major League Baseball. For a long time, they didn't count MLB writers as legit. So that's why I don't have a Hall of Fame vote. Then you look at the list of people voting for the Hall of Fame and you're like, never seen that guy in a press box, never seen that guy in a press box. Who even is that guy? So
that you know, guy probably wrote about LJ Hose and how weed is bad.
Exactly. Like, who even are these people? So, you know, you got to look through that. But to me, the issue with the character clause is this is like a new thing now. This wasn't the case 5, 10, 15 years ago. So you can't now, after you've let in guys who aren't great character guys, you can't now all of a sudden make it this, you know, high character place. Like, it is the Hall of Fame. And why are the famous players not in it, right? Why are the two of the most famous players that you and I grew up with in the 90s, in Sosa and Barry Bonds? Okay, this is the Hall of Fame, not the Hall of High Character, not the Hall of Good Guys, not the Hall of Writer's Favorites. Like, I don't like Curt Schilling at all. Yeah. But as I told you off air, I heard from players who hate the guy and still believe he's a Hall of Famer. I'm not saying Barry Bonds is warm and cuddly and a guy that I want to go, you know, have a drink with. I mean, I kind of do, just because
I totally would.
I would like to have a drink with anyone.
Yeah.
And grumpy old men, sometimes after you have a drink with them, they kind of drop the act.
Yes.
But again, this isn't about like Britt's friends or Jess's friends. Yeah. And I just feel like it's getting that way. And it's just becoming this like, oh, here's who I voted for. I'm so pained. I'm so tortured. Look at me, MLB writer. And it's awful. It's not good for the sport.
Right. And I have two questions. The first one was like, just because like my relationship with steroids, like not like I did them, but when I grew up, but I freaking would. If I knew something would make me a better journalist, Britt, give me all the things. Like, I'm down.
Inject into my eyes.
Yeah, exactly. Inject into my eyes and let me get my signing bonus and then I'll stop. But I want to know, as time goes on, when I first heard about steroids, I was like, Barry Bonds is not deserved. That's cheating. But as time went on and I really knew about the steroid era, I kind of researched it. I got it. So I guess the first question I have is it okay to change your vote, do you think, as time goes on?
I do. I think there's no take backs, right? So you can't say, oh man, 10 years ago, I shouldn't have voted for that guy. So I think you can change your mind.
Yeah.
I also think the slippery slope here is that now all the writers have the power. So if they all decide like, well, I got to make my vote public now, can't have the Twitter hate that comes along with Curt Schilling or Barry Bonds. I honestly think part of the voting becomes what people think, right? The backlash. And it shouldn't be that way either.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a mess. And like I said, I don't know. I know a lot of people got in trouble for submitting blank ballots. I don't know if I wouldn't have been one of those people. I don't know if
I was going to ask you about the blank ballots as well. Like, how do you vote those?
Like, tell me that you wouldn't have been like, forget this, it's blank, I'm putting it back in the envelope and mailing it. I don't need this aggravation.
Yeah. I obviously depends on like who's up for it, but it would be really, I totally understand. Yeah. But I also think that's part of what you mentioned about like Twitter, like I'm going to make a statement. And it's like, are you going to make a statement or do you genuinely don't believe anybody's deserved of the Hall of Fame? So that's where it kind of sucks too, is I get it. You know, I sometimes feed off of social media attention. And if I had that power, like that would kind of suck. Be like, oh my gosh, I just want them to see how nice my handwriting looks and the rest, whatever. And I can honestly see myself doing that. And that's what sucks, is like, I don't want Twitter to hate me, but like, there's a really cute follower who likes Barry Bonds and I want him to be impressed by it or what have you. So it's, and I could really see social media kind of effing that up. And that sucks. Cause especially nowadays where I like that old school mentality of the Baseball Hall of Fame, where it's like Slash Shine's good, 18-time All-Star, Gold Glover, let's do it. But you know, you can't see on Baseball Reference that he was kind of a butthead to me once. Come on.
I know. And like, I understand, like, we've become really socially aware in 2021. And I think that's great. But I think the danger now becomes the problem with the Baseball Hall versus like the NFL is the NFL is just like straight player. Yeah. Are they a Hall of Fame player? Baseball has somehow included this character clause. And the problem with that is it's so subjective, right? Like what I think is maybe abhorrent behavior, you might be like, well, not that bad.
Right.
And the same thing down the line. So to me, like you almost have to throw away that character clause. Mm-hmm. How are you mad about steroids when Bud Selig, the commissioner who oversaw steroids, is in the Hall of Fame and Barry Bonds is not?
Right.
Like, to me, there's just a lot of hypocrisy going on. Like, Curt Schilling is a terrible guy. Sure, you can make that case. He's claimed to want journalists dead. Like, absolutely not someone I'd like to have over at my home. But yeah. Was he a really good pitcher? Was he a really good player? Yes. And this whole debacle now with like him trying to get taken off the ballot and all this other stuff. Like, I just wonder, Jess, like, is there a better system for the Hall of Fame voting? Is there a better way to determine it than a bunch of like the same person, like pretty much every baseball writer sitting there and kind of saying, well, here's my ballot. I have so much power. Is there a better way to do this?
I mean, I think eventually we'll figure one out, but it actually was yesterday, Monty Poole, who writes for NBC Sports Bay Area, legend, dude, but he gets a Hall of Fame vote. And he even wrote, mind you, this the black man voted. He's like, I hated what Curt Schilling did as far as talking about those people who rushed the Capitol, but I voted for him because he was a damn good pitcher. And I wish that we could either have Monty Poole mentality or base it all on character. If that's the case, we need to figure it out. Because if that's what we want to do, then at least we know going into it, oh, well, everybody's going to vote because he didn't give me a post-game press conference quote. And then we can go from there. But when Monty kind of said that, I was like, you know what? I get where he's coming from. But like, as you mentioned, I'm just glad I don't have a vote because I might freak out and just mail in a blank ballot. And that alone sends a message. And how people learn it, like twist it is fine. But like, sometimes mama just gets overwhelmed and I just don't want to deal with so it's like putting all the laundry, pushing it to the side of your bed and still just sleeping.
Exactly. Or just like letting it go, knowing it's going to get mildew in the wash and being like, you know, whatever. I mean, I feel the same way. And I'm glad you mentioned Monty because like I heard from black players that are like, I hate Curt Schilling, but he's a Hall of Fame player. And I think too many people, especially on Twitter, are so focused on like including everyone in maybe in a group being upset. But if that group's not upset, right? If there are black players and black journalists who are saying, yeah, Curt Schilling might be a racist, he might be a terrible guy, but he belongs in the Hall of Fame based on the Hall of Fame credentials.
Right.
What are we doing by like too many of us trying to overcorrect, right? Yeah. And be like, well, if I vote for Curt Schilling, people are going to think I'm a racist or I condone that. That's not what this ballot is about. I think it's just gotten completely out of control.
And I agree. And I think that's what we need to, we should like have like a support group. Like we know you voted for Curt Schilling. We don't think that you liked the people rushed the Capitol. Right. But you looked at his baseball reference numbers, Fangraphs numbers. We get it. We understand. We are here. We see you. We hear you.
Every day. Tuesdays.
Like, and so I think, I hope that we can all kind of embrace that. I'm kind of, maybe we do need more people to be like, hey, I get it. Like, we would rather go have a drink with Barry Bonds and not Curt Schilling, but I'm going to put a little check mark by Curt Schilling. And same thing, like, I remember watching him, but then as time went on, like, I forgot about how good of a pitcher he was because all the character was overshadowing it. And that can do like a day-to-day thing, but when it comes to a ballot, you got to suck it up. Like the dude has good numbers. So it's kind of interesting to come from that dynamic, but it's a lot like when you take a test and you don't know the answer, you're going to select B the entire time. I feel like you have to hold on to that specific mentality throughout the entire time. And if there's another guy who comes in the next Hall of Fame thing, be like, think about that as well. Like he's probably a crappy person, but the guy could rake or whatever.
Here's my question. I don't know, maybe people are way too into this and it wouldn't work, but it would work for me. Why don't we take names out of it and they get submitted? You're not allowed to look at anything online. You get a piece of paper that says candidate X. It has all their stats and you vote yes or no.
Yeah.
I mean, people could still look it up and figure out which player is which, but what if we took the names out of it? What if we made it about the numbers and did not include names? Everyone submits their ballots and then we find out who you voted for. Do you think that would work?
Yes. The only issue I would have is because you did mention like the fame part. And I'm not saying like, because Barry Bonds would step up to the plate and I would stop what I was doing to watch him. And I feel like you can't put that on baseball reference in a certain way. But I do respect that. But like at the same time, you mentioned the fame part and like Barry Bonds and Sammy Sosa made it sexy and everything. And I feel like that needs to be taken into account because of everything else going on.
Are you faithful to the Bay? 49ers 2021 season tickets are available now and locations are filling up quickly. Lock in your seats with a deposit today to secure your spot for next season. For more information, visit 49ers.com/season tickets.
We're going to continue with the controversial stuff. We're just going to roll this train, mama. But over the last couple of weeks, it's been, forever, it's been tough being a woman in this industry. But Jared Porter kind of like, oh, cherry on top. There we go. The stuff came out with Jared Porter and the Mets, of course, and how coming in hot toward a woman, a female reporter, 60 plus text messages on top of a very, and then adding it, a lewd text message. I'm curious, just because we're a different breed, and I just feel like as women, we deal with it differently. When you heard about Jared Porter doing these awful things that came to surface, what were your first thoughts?
My first thoughts were, I hope we take this seriously, because we were actually at a house inspection when this all went down, my husband and I saw it, and I was transported back to things that have happened to me. I think that happens to everyone. You look at it, look, man. And then I was also like, man, I hope people are outraged about this. I hope there's no doubt that this guy should be gone. Obviously, he was gone very quickly.
Yeah.
But it wasn't just the way the Mets reacted that made me feel like we're moving forward. It was the way everyone reacted.
Yeah.
I still have some main problems with it. And my biggest issue, Jess, is so many guys, which maybe happened to you, reached out and were like, how do I be an ally? How do I make this better? And you make it better by not participating in this.
Yeah.
By knowing that just because Jess has terrific hair and she looks like Walmart Topanga doesn't mean she's not there to do her job.
Right.
Like, just because a player calls you back and not a guy does not mean you're sleeping with them.
Yeah.
The stigma of that gets perpetuated is like, oh, how does Brittany so close with that guy? Right. And then it becomes, well, you know how. Like, no, that's not how. Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm married now, but even before that, I considered for a long time wearing a fake ring just so that people would think that I was in there to do my job, which is absurd that if I'm a single woman, then I can't possibly be in there to do my job. Right. And so I just hope that the men who saw this realize they need to get better and they need to do this. And that, like, watching a guy be creepy and not saying anything is just as bad as being the creepy guy.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I think so many guys have seen these things play out and have never really realized, hey, that's not right. Or, hey, it must be hard for Britain just to have sources because they have to text guys late at night. And invariably, guys take it the wrong way. Like, nobody ever really, it was crazy to me that people didn't realize how much harder our job can be.
Oh yeah. Like, just last night I was doing an Instagram live for fun talking about Marcus Simeon, because now he's with the Jays, and people were like, Jessica, he's married. And I was like, I said he was a great clubhouse guy and he was wonderful. Oh, he's married. I'm like, and I literally told them to F off. I'm just like, oh, okay. Well, thank you. And so you really think you would, I mean, I told you about the text message that I got off air. You would not be calling John Heyman those words. Like, you would not, you know, and stuff like that. So I'm right there with you. It reminds me, like, Little League. I would have to try way harder than the guys would, because if I F up, women shouldn't play baseball. But if Cody next to me F'd up, it was like, oh, he's having a bad day, you know, whatever. Yeah. So it just, they don't understand it. And I mean, outside, I could see where people would perceive it, but that's what sucks. I shouldn't have to be like, oh, I understand why you would think that, because I look a certain way, I act a certain way, I dress a certain way. And it's BS. Ugh.
Yeah. It just, and like, as people, as you know, it's like, you want to be presentable at your job, right?
Yeah.
If you go in there and you look like slovenly and stuff like that, like, you're just, you need to be presentable.
Yeah.
And sorry, but they make dresses for women. They make fitted clothing for women.
Yeah.
Like if it doesn't matter. Somebody asked me last spring, a newer female reporter, like, what do you wear to spring training? And I was serious. I said, it actually doesn't matter what you wear. No matter what, you're going to stand out.
Yeah.
You can dress like a boy and people will be like, oh, who's that chick? You could wear a tight, tiny little dress and people are still going to say, oh, who's that chick? Like,
yeah.
It doesn't matter what you wear. It doesn't matter what you say. People are still going to have these preconceived notions no matter what. And it's just your job to like slowly chip away at them.
Yeah.
Like, and over time, does it get better? In one spot, yes. You know, players realize that you're there. Very quickly, players realize you're not that kind of girl. Reporters sort of like get it. Everyone sort of understands it. But it just sucks that every new team I go see, every new clubhouse I walk in, same thing with you, you don't have that familiarity right away. You are a target. People are looking at you and judging you, and you can feel it. Like I can feel, like, I'm sure you can too. Like, you can feel when people are looking at you. And some people make it more obvious than others, but it's uncomfortable. And it's just such an odd workplace to be in.
I agree. My favorite thing though, is like when I walk into a new clubhouse, is to act like I'm almost annoyed to be there, because that way people will be like, oh, she like has to do her job. I'm like, yeah, like I have to go interview like these millionaires. Like, it's just like so annoying. And like, I just have to like hurry up and do this. Like, I don't have time for the BS. Like, I need to talk to him. Can you introduce me? Because like, I have stuff I need to do. And I always do that. And that way for me, that's how I don't overthink things. I'm just like, I'm going to do my job. But then that's what sucks, right? And I was thinking about it, like, even when I prep for just a podcast like this, this one was easy because I feel like I could talk to you for hours. But then it's like, I have to prep on top of primp. And so like just last night, I had to do a VOD for Simeon going to the Jays. And then like 35 minutes later, he's messaging me like, hey, are you done with the VOD? I'm like, excuse me? No. I know what I'm going to say. It's all about making this look presentable, but I'm not going to half-ass it just so you, like, the guys won't understand. Because homeboy rolls out of bed, put the light on, camera, I'm ready to go. I roll out of bed, but I'm not going to show up to make you guys feel comfortable so I can just water things down. No.
Exactly. It's such a catch 22 though, too, because if you showed up and you looked terrible, they'd be like, ew, I'm supposed to talk to that girl.
Yeah.
Like, it's a fine line, but if you're too pretty, they're like, how do you think she got her job? Like, there's like, no,
what do you want from me?
There's no in between. And so like the line is exhausting. My first few years in Baltimore, Jess, it's not air conditioned there. You know, it's one of the few press boxes. There's no ventilation. But I was so young, I'm like, well, I can't wear a tank top. Like, people will think I'm not a serious journalist.
Right.
And by the end of my time there, I was wearing whatever the hell I wanted. Yeah. I'm like, someone wants to say I'm not a serious journalist. Like, I don't even care. But you know, so part of that comes with age, but it's also like such a ridiculous thing. Like, guys, like you said, nobody picks out a shirt, no guy I know, and they're like, oh boy, I hope Max Scherzer doesn't get the wrong idea I'm wearing red today. Like, nobody cares. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
But everything that you and I wear becomes some kind of extension of who we are. And sometimes it is just exhausting.
Yeah.
It is just really tough. And I think people don't realize that, like with this Jared Porter situation, if that woman didn't have all of those text messages and all of that evidence, people would be debating whether she was exaggerating or if she led him on, right? Because it just always, in this line of work, it just always seems like it's something that we did, right? Like when a player hits on me, I'm always wondering like, what did I do wrong here?
Right.
How did I give off the wrong vibe? And I think that's the biggest issue here is we place blame on the wrong party.
Yeah.
And we're always like, well, that she deserved it. You see that sundress she wore? Well, it was 100 freaking degrees and she wore a sundress. Does that mean she deserved, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Did Erin Andrews deserve to be filmed in her hotel room because she's hot? Like, I have so much issue with the way that a lot of this stuff is perceived. And I hope we move forward, but anyone who thinks Jared Porter's the only creep in baseball, like, I have a bridge to sell you. Like, you know, it's like, okay, cool. Name me a team. Like, we can just go down the line of creep. It's like whack-a-mole. Like, you remove one and like 10 more spring up.
Yeah.
So I do hope that we take this seriously. And also that male colleagues who know who these creeps are, find them and investigate them and go after them and make sure people know that this is not okay.
Right. And I think that I really love what you said there is like, just don't, to be an ally, just like, don't participate in it. And I feel like that's super important. If you see something, like, have our backs, you know, because as much as I don't mind saying that something went wrong, having somebody that could be like, I observed it, she's correct, it's always like a blessing. But I'm noticing that a lot more as the men are approaching us and being like, how can I help? And I feel like that alone is great. We don't always need a bunch of help because we're independent, but vice versa. If they ever need anything, I'd be there for them. But it's nice to know that like I mean, I'm lucky enough where I know a lot of the players are my allies too. And they don't, a lot of people don't think that that's true, but it's not always going to be bad. But like you said, if you know a Jared Porter in your life, be like, bro, maybe just like stop. Just like, stop.
I don't know. I mean, if I don't answer like two texts, you're probably done.
Yeah.
Right? Like one or two texts, you're probably done.
The 60 like after 60 something, and then you're like, here's an idea. No.
Yeah. Let me make this visual. Like, I just, it just speaks so much to the ego and the power. And like you said, players are often the allies.
Yeah.
Like it's the front offices, it's coaches, it's like a lot of areas that still need to kind of get with the times a little bit here. Players oftentimes have daughters, have wives, yeah. have had many female reporters. They often go out of their way to make you feel comfortable.
Yeah.
I think in baseball, some of the problem is in other areas.
Yeah.
Especially like when you are developing sources, like it's beyond the scope of players, right? It's front offices, it's coaches, it's people in positions of power. And I don't know about you, Jess, but the line gets like blurry. Like I did not text anyone past 11 o'clock.
Right.
Because for me, I just feel like it's danger zone. But then do I miss stuff? Certainly, I'm sure I do.
Yeah.
But like I don't go meet a source for drinks. Like we want to meet, we're meeting during the day.
Right.
I don't drink at the winter meetings, late at night, the hotel bar. There are things that like we do that like I do to protect myself that men never think twice about. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I mean, I answer all text messages at 11 o'clock, but look how great I turned out, Britt.
That's why you break that big news, Jess.
Yeah, so it's always
what I mean, when you, I'm curious though, because when you came out with that Tatis stuff, like what did you get a lot of like internet hate? Like, I also feel like whenever I have news, people don't like, I'm not credible enough for people. Like, people don't believe it.
That's how it was with me too. And I was like praying for somebody to back me up. Finally, Heyman backed it up. But by then it was still too late. Like I got really nasty messages. But luckily I've been on like the radio in San Diego enough to where I had a lot of support. I was actually very impressed. But naturally as us, as women go in this industry, I only remember the negative stuff. And it did get a little personal because some people did get my personal number, which freaked me out. And, but at the beginning there was a lot of people like, I don't know, but I was very strategic because the last few weeks before I had a source and this source kept helping me with information to leading up to this Tatis. So people like the other stuff checked out and like, you know, Sarah started retweeting my stuff and I was like, okay, cool. Like people are understanding where I'm coming from. So it was kind of strategic on my part because I waited a while for the Tatis stuff. But that's what sucked is I was just praying for the Rosenthals of the world to like back me up. And then finally Heyman did. Still wasn't 100% because people don't like Heyman, but to know that like he did have my back, whether he realized it or not, was like, whew. But yeah, people were just like, who's this broad? And especially working for, like we talk about being pigeonholed, A's and Giants, people are like, I don't understand that. And so right. it was a roller coaster of emotions, if you will.
Yeah. And I just feel like it's funny because when Jared Porter got hired, I got two text messages from people in the game, males, who said, this guy's bad news. I was going to like tweet something that was like not super complimentary, not defamatory or anything before anything happened with Jared Porter when he got hired. Then I go on the internet and I see the who's who of baseball, like anointing this guy as like character, morality, like all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, who am I to say something different? Right.
Right.
And I think part of this whole learning experience for me and part of where I hope we can get to as females is like, you hear something, you report it and to hell if anyone else backs it up because you know it's right.
Right.
You know, and I did tell one of the writers at The Athletic about the Jared Porter stuff, but they just wrote a nice glowing feature anyway. Mm-hmm. And so then I really doubted myself. Like, again, who am I to say something different? But I think the game needs that.
Yeah.
The game needs the different voices and different opinions and the people to say, whoa, we're getting a little too crazy with the running Jared Porter up the flagpole. Like, I hope that we get to the point where, you know, it doesn't matter that nobody else is backing you up. You know, you're right. It doesn't matter to me if everyone loves Jared Porter. If I heard this, I'm reporting it and I don't care what anyone thinks. We're not there yet, but I hope we do get to that point where it's like, you know, I maybe I need to get a thicker skin. I don't know, but I hope we get to that point where I'm just like, I don't care. I know it for a fact. And I'm just going to block all of you who are going to say nasty things to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, I personally feel like I'm getting better at that, but there's still times where like strangers on the internet just hit me at the wrong time. And it's like the same people who like will make these fake accounts, but I feel like I'm at a point in my life where I'm like, all right, now I'd rather take it on than have like somebody else deal with it. But yeah, I need to grow a couple and just be like, hey, I know this is right. I feel comfortable tweeting this out. And I wouldn't tweet anything out like that if I wasn't confident. Would I really do a Tatis extension if I was just like bored one day? Not at this point in my career, maybe five right. years ago, but not at this point, you know? So it's just like, it was kind of cool, but yeah. I hated that I was like praying for Heyman to be like, Jessica's on this. I heard this too. And it helps, but it needs to not just be like, oh, they want to be my ally. No, they're doing the same thing. They want to be the first with the news too. So it's not necessarily an ally thing and everything like that. But you're right. I think one day we'll get there. You've been fantastic. This was so much fun. We got to tackle all the important stuff that I feel like has been a roller coaster for the last few weeks. And I appreciate you letting me bother you for a little bit.
Well, thanks for having me. And maybe next time we chat, I'll upgrade my background a little bit because this is embarrassing.
It's at this point, I don't think anybody is like worried about backgrounds anymore. Cause now it's like, whatever. And one day I want to do Bok Talk from like my bed, just like lounging out and
enjoy.
Nobody cares.
You should. Well, thanks for having me. And I hope to see you in real life soon.
Oh my gosh, me too.
Thanks for listening to the Bok Talk podcast. Please rate, review, and subscribe for free on your podcast provider.